I guess that's why.
But you know, that's what that is why, but that's actually not saying anything. That's repeating the self. This is a philosophical tactic where you actually just restate what you said the first time in a different way and make it seem like that's actually an argument.
Right.
There is some information. Now we know that he thinks that racism and not, say, I don't know, the Red Army is what defeated fascism.
Civil War in general, right?
Right, yeah. This is not only a historical but also philosophical collapse. Racism is based on the belief in the innate objective superiority of one race over another. Now, we'll notice here that he hasn't defined race. All right. If racism and not some other aspect of National Socialism, and we've already shifted, there's a bunch of subtle shifts in here, and I want people to notice this. He shifted from fascism to just National Socialism, which indicates to me he actually does know what he's doing.
Yeah.
That brought about such a consequence, leading to the immeasurable suffering on both sides, as well as the collapse of Germany and the Axis powers. I guess that I can't decide if he thinks that's bad or not. Not to mention the destruction of the entire ideological project of the Third Way. The criminal practicing of wiping out entire ethnic groups, Jews, Gypsies, Slavs, based on race, was precisely rooted in their racial theory. This is what angers and shocks us about Nazism to this day. In addition, Hitler's anti-Semitism and the doctrine that Slavs are subhuman and must be colonized is what led Germany to go to war against the Soviet Union, which cost us millions of lives, us here being Russia. It is also true that that this resulted in Germans themselves losing their political freedom and the right to participate in the political history for a long time, if not forever. Germany doesn't participate in political history now? Okay, cool. They are left only with their economy and, in the best sense, with a concern for ecology. Well, that's funny now. The supporters of the Third Way were left in the position of ideological outcasts in the margin of society. It was racism, in theory and in practice, that criminalized all of their aspects of National Socialism and fascism, causing these worldviews to become objects of curses and vilification. So we do have an argument. Basically, the argument is thus. The Red Army defeated the Axis powers because the Axis were racist against Slavs, and they probably should have been nicer to Jews, too. That's the argument.
Yeah.
All right?
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, he doesn't quite say it, but I think we can deduce that because fascism failed, that it is bad.
Yeah,
it's not so much a moral argument. It's just that its time has passed and it hasn't given us anything. So the best we can do is assess whether or not there's anything good that comes from it. But to try to revive it, and he knows this from experience, it's not going to get you anywhere.
Now, this is where we go ahead.
It says a lot about his theory and understanding of the movement of history, of historical dynamics, that history ended for Germany, I guess, in 1945, when in reality, you know, at least within like the liberal world system, the height of Germany's power really over the last 100 years or so, or at least after Hitler, might have been the 1990s and the 2000s, right? You have this, its influence in pulling together and supporting and building the constellation of capitalist forces that make up the European Union.
There's a reason why I refer to the Fourth Reich.
Right.
So, like,
so Germany's got this world-spanning, high value export economy that like pulls up, you know, hundreds of millions of other people in the world. But that's not history though, right? That's them being subjected and subordinated to, in his mind, the place where nothing happens, where no history happens, which is liberalism, right?
Right. Because if you regard the liberal world order as a decadent and past its time, it's, you know, it doesn't matter anymore. It's also definitely driven primarily still from the United States anyways. So Germany is just fairly successful in hitching its wagon to on the wrong cart or whatever.
Like the most successful vassal state of the United States.
Yeah, yeah. I think, you know, you could probably do a better job of articulating this, but I don't think it's entirely
No, I think there's
not, it's not entirely, yeah.
If someone's got Hegel brain, it's not entirely a stupid argument.
Yeah,
Well, that's exactly right.
I guess we're all a little Hegel brained in here.
The dialectic of Hegel brain and Varn's like deep distrust of Hegelianism is funny. Jason, I suggested reading the McGee book on Hegel, and you're like, yes, I agree with that book, and this is why I'm now more of a Hegelian. And I was like, no, that's not what I meant.
That's true. That book is responsible for an entirely new trajectory of in my
an epistemological break.
Yeah,
actually, yeah,
the regrettable century epistemological break was me like, hey, Hegel's really religious, and you guys going, yes. And then I'm like, but that's not what, okay. I guess,
yeah, you're like, yes. Yes, he is. Yes, he was indeed. And also, so am I now.
Anyway, but I actually think this next paragraph is interesting because it's actually weirder. And I'm going to read it. We can parse this and we'll move on from the sectional race. Hitler's racism, however, is only one form of racism.
Oh, here we go. He's like, he's doing a boomer thing now where he's like, you know, an N-word's a state of mind, you know, it's not a racial thing.
This type of racism is the most obvious, straightforward, and biological, and therefore the most repulsive. There are other forms of racism. Now, I'm going to get back to this because I don't see how some of these other forms of racism are not also expressed in his ethno stuff later. Cultural racism, asserting that there are high and low cultures. God, he sounds fucking liberal here. Yeah. Civilizational, dividing people into the civilized and those insufficiently civilized. Technological, viewing technological development as the main criterion for the value of society. Social, stating in the spirit of the Protestant doctrine predestination that the rich are the best and the greatest compared to the poor. And that makes more sense if you think about stuff that was being said in 2008 in America. Like that wasn't much more common sentiment. Now even conservatives don't really say that anymore. I guess when your elites are as decadent as ours are, you can't maintain that. economic, in which all of humanity is ranked according to the degree of material well-being, and evolutionary, for which it is axiomatic that human society is a result of biological development, in which the basic processes of the evolution of the species, survival of the fittest, natural selection, and so on, continue today.
Very common racism today.
Yeah. European and American societies are fundamentally afflicted with these types of racism, unable to eradicate them from itself despite extensive efforts. And those efforts are going to get more extensive after this book was published, to be fair. Yeah. Being fully aware of how revolting this phenomenon is, the people in the West tend to make racism a taboo. However, all this turns into a witch hunt. New pariahs are accused of fascism. Are its victims, often for no apparent reason. Now, this sounds defensive as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, you guys accuse people of being fascist for no reason. Now, I will also say, yes, people accuse people of being fascist. I mean, this is the problem that we have now with category inflation. And this is one of these times where I actually, like, both got really annoyed with the debates around Danny Besner talking about how the Confederacy is not fascist because fascism doesn't exist yet, even if there's elements of the Confederacy that are in fascism. To say that it is fascist is to retroject a fully articulated political philosophy before it was fully articulated. It'd be like me saying that, like, 12th century kings and Moravia were liberals because they had markets or something. Like,
because what it's doing is it's basically denying history as any kind of process. It's just one or another sentiment that takes control of people, but it's basically all the same. And that history is just a story of back and forth between competing ideologies, but there's never any development.
There's like this ideal, these ideal forms that exist throughout human history.
Yeah, yeah.
Just kind of pop into reality and then pop out.
So yeah, if I was going to attack Western liberalism, I would attack the fact that its atomized individualism has actually led it to an ahistoricism that pretends that, for example, that symbolic kinship mediation, something that I really study, is the same whether we're talking about a tribe, a marriage, or a fucking nation state. That like that because they're symbolic kinship relation, that's true, that they're the same because of the basis of the symbolic mediation being, you know, there. And I'm just like, scale fucking changes content eventually. Like, you know,
there's so whole argument about quantity and quality and all that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe Hegel, for all of my, he was religious talk, had a point about something. I don't know. Maybe, maybe quantity and quality become one thing at certain points, but, anyway, the I think that's interesting, because if I wanted to attack the contradictions of American liberalism today, it's that atomized individualism has led to a scenario where we both talk about being on the right side of history, a necessarily Whiggish concept, that history has a fucking right side, and in which it is currently always progressing towards more civilizational humaneness or some shit. Yeah.
A moral arc bending towards justice.
Yeah, yeah. You know, dumb shit that Steven Pinker thinks. And also a lot of leftists will use that language without thinking about it. And also rejecting any historical distinctions as being substantive. This is actually kind of endemic to historical education right now, where we assume that you can go from micro to macro history, so the study of individual small events, to the study of large-scale movements, and not draw up any systems, because systems are not something that historians do. That's an interpretive lens, and we're going to avoid that because, you know, the 20th century was bad or some shit,
right?
Usually is the argument, more or less. And my historian friends are going to get mad at me, but, you know, there are trends that try to buck this. There's new materialism, which by that I mean just people trying to bring back Marxian thinking into historiography. There is Cleo dynamics. There is people applying models from anthropology back into history. But it, by and large, this position that is implicit in Dugin, particularly in 2008, was not an odd position for a leftist or liberal to have. And I want to point that out, which makes their Whiggishism even weirder and more schizophrenic. And I think that leads to some of the, quote, witch huntiness that he's talking about. But Dugin's not, for all of his intellectual sophistication at points, and I do want to give him credits, I know he's an irrationalist, but he does have a very sophisticated argument set. He actually doesn't go there. Maybe it's easier to articulate now. I don't know. I don't know if I would have said that in 2008. It's harder for me to like put myself back into the mindset of even what 16 years ago, but like still. Okay, getting back. Yeah. This is where he sounds like, I mean, I could hear this coming out of Tucker Carlson's mouth, honestly. The new pariahs accused of fascism are its victims for apparently no reason. Thus, this very political correctness. Now we'd now say wokeness, because wokeness is even shorter than political correctness. And if you're a troglodyte, you can get it out easier. And its norms are transformed into a totalitarian discipline of political, purely racist exclusions. In this manner, the institutionalized French left liberal anti-racism has gradually become a distribution center of racial hatred. This is interesting and actually, I think, somewhat correct. He's talking about laicism in France. That's what he's talking about here. Even Africans suffer from being accused of fascism. And he's, you know, talking about...
You see a lot around the debates about immigration to Sweden and Germany, France and Italy days, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and we saw a lot of it. Like, if you think about the arguments around the end of the New Atheist, this was common back then too. Yeah,
Islamofascism, right?
Right. Yeah. In this manner, the institutionalized left liberal anti-racism has become the distribution of hatred. Even Africans suffer from being accused of fascism. Such was the case as an unrestrained defamatory campaign against a well-known black comedian.
You don't French even. French African name,
French name Mambala Mambala, who dared? It's easy. It's funny to me that the African name is easier for me to say than the French name.
Deux Donne.
I think I would pronounce it as Deux Donne.
Diadon Mambala Mambala, or Diadone Mambala Mambala, one way or the other. All right. Who dared to mock certain hideous features of contemporary French establishment in his routine, including
anti-racism.
Including anti-racism, which I think, to be fair, we're seeing again.
Honestly, this could be written by about this year rather than 2008.
Yeah, right. I'm going to skip a little bit ahead. The very ideology of progress is racist in its structure. I actually think this I've heard from leftists as well. I have, like, not contemporary leftists, but when I was in college in the aughts, this was a common argument that the Enlightenment was inherently racist because the idea of progress is inherently racist because you can't, like, the necessary, like, progress, like, excludes the African tribe. And I'm going to say I'm actually somewhat sympathetic to this argument. I don't think it's totally full of shit even. The assertion that the present is better and more fulfilling than the past and the continual reassurances that the future will be even better than the present are discriminations against the past and the present, as well as the humiliation of all those who lived in the past, an insult to the honor and dignity of our ancestors and those of others, and a violation of the rights of the dead.
I kind of think that's right.
It's like I don't think there's rights of the dead, but other than that, I agree with him.
Even the unsafe, you know, like that Benjamin messianic Marxism.
In many cultures, the dead play an important sociological role. We're going to get into hauntology stuff. This is going to be fun. I'm actually somewhat serious. Like, hauntology is all fun and games, and you remember that it starts off talking about literal ghosts. Only Derrida makes it about metaphorical ones. Mm. In many cultures, the dead play an important sociological role. Absolutely true. They are considered to still be alive in a certain sense, present in the world and participating in life. True. This is true of all ancient cultures and civilizations. Not willing to say that, actually. Yeah. I'm actually not willing to say that. But most. If you said most and not all, I would still agree with it. Billions of inhabitants on this earth believe in on this concept to this day. That's not an argument, though. That's just an assertion. In Chinese civilization, which is built upon the cult of the dead and upon the reverence alongside the living, being dead is regarded as a high social status in some way superior to the status of the living. And which Chinese civilization?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, there's a bunch of them.
Kim Il-sung has a high social position in North Korea, right?
Mm-hmm. There are ways in which he could just moderate or soften a little bit of his arguments, and it would make them go down a lot easier. But he doesn't.
Yeah, and also I would point out that, again, I've heard all these arguments from post-structural leftists in the aughts. I have. Yeah. I mean, like I've actually. What's interesting to me reading this book, and I remember reading it back then. I'm like, oh, this is picking up on left language. And right-wing language, like the rights of the dead and like the vote for our ancestors, like, if you know that, that's from like Chesterton and Orthodox Christian circles and stuff. Like, that's even like Burke, like, you know, institutions matter because the past gets the vote. That's a Burkean conception. All right. So again, when people don't know their conservatism or other forms of leftism that are not even that long gone, like, you know, some of this rhetoric is going to fly over them, I think. Although I think this is pretty, other than the fact it's like a little bit too confident in self-assertion, I agree with Jason. I agree with like half this paragraph. I mean, like I do. The ideology of progress represents the moral genocide of past generations. Okay, now that's some. In other words, the real racism. Aha! Now we got the rhetoric of reality. And as
affirmative,
I feel like an editor could have helped a lot in the final publication of this. Because like some things, like, in other words, real racism, I would, you know, could just strike that.
Yeah,
you don't need to say that.
He's a polemicist, though, right? He's not just
I hate to say it, but this is a basic move. It's like, you know, like when the Republicans were against slavery, therefore the modern Republicans are the real anti-racist because of what Abraham Lincoln did and Horace Greeley did 150 years ago.
It's a real amateur move. I don't know.
Yeah, I would also say, like, that would also make the GOP the real Marxist, because Horace Greeley was the person publishing Marx in the United States. But whatever. All right. Equally questionable is the idea of modernization, which is often taken as a self-evident virtue. It is easy to detect the obvious signs of racism in it. You know what? Christopher Lashkin wrote that. He wouldn't have said the real racism, but the rest of this is true. And he was actually using it to defend populism against accusations of being racist and defend Martin Luther King as a key American thinker. So, you know, make of that what you will. Undoubtedly, racist is the idea of a unipolar globalization. Okay, this is where I'm sort of like,
This is where he's basically making the claim that universalism, you know, like, and Enlightenment principles, especially bourgeois principles, are in themselves.
So the first political theory is really the third political theory the whole time, which, you know, a lot of Marxists would believe too, but nonetheless,
I kind of think that if he just wouldn't talk about it as like inherently racist, and instead he just talked about it as driving racism, and like this concept is a concept, and racism is also a concept, and the second concept thrives upon the first, but the first does not necessarily give rise to the second one. Just a little bit of nuance, you know?
Yeah, a little bit of like overuse of the monologic is. Which, you know, to be fair to him, fuck if I don't see this all the time and everything else. I mean, we remember the post-X Kendi discourse where like X policy is racist because it's not explicitly about undoing racism.
Right.
So like stuff like universal welfare that's not racially equated is actually racist because it is not about undoing racism, even if it would have the results of undoing racial disparity. That's an actual Abraham X Kendi argument. That's the same kind of thing that our bro here Dugan's doing. And I just point that out.
That's the argument that Hillary Clinton used against Barack Obama.
Yeah. So, I mean, I point that out because, like, some of these moves that we say are like, yeah, this is bad and stupid. It is. But, like, I also think we need to admit that there's a lot of left thinkers who get a pass for making the exact same structural move. Like, X is Y because I fucking feel because X produces Y, therefore they must really be the same thing. And that's not, and that's why I'm using, you know, analytic logic to explain this. That's not true. Like, you can't say, like, I have a baby, the baby is me because we are of the same essence because I had the baby. Like, that's what you would be doing, right? That's not a valid argument. The baby is not me. Like,
but presumably he knows better, right? So he's using this.
I don't know. This is where I don't know that he does. I mean, like, because this is super common. Like, Abraham S. Kendi doesn't really know better. Like, I've listened to him talk. He's not a guru. I mean, he's obviously not very effective at managing an academic department, but he's not a guru. In the sense that, I don't think he was just coming up with something that was gonna make him money. Although that may be what it came up with. I think he really believed what he said. And similarly here, I think this is gonna get really weird when we get into his ethno stuff, right?
Yeah. I mean, one of the problems here is that Dugan has such an encyclopedic knowledge that he seems as though he definitely knows everything. And that means anything that I disagree with or that we disagree with or whatever seems like that's sleight of hand. But he, you know, you can't actually know everything. So he might only know a little bit about the stuff that he references.
Right. Well, I mean, that's going to be the great question of this book is when is he bullshitting or not?
Right.
And I often don't know. Like, yeah. I'm like, okay, is this a bullshit argument? Because we've talked about, like, he makes, like, left liberal internet arguments made by Americans and states them to Russians as if they are objectively true.
Yeah.
Like, like, remember what he said about George Bush being a dominionist and shit like that. It was just
And thank God for the Iraq War or something like that. I don't remember saying that. I don't know. Maybe he did, but no, I feel like this extended excursion into the liberals are the real racists and that progress is racist. Move feels to me like ass covering. I don't know. I mean, this is him wanting to have his fascism, but like cleaned up of all of the parts that made the Nazis lose, but also pointing a finger and saying the anti-fascists are the real fascists.
Right. Which
no race.
Well, and you know, what he could do is he could make a very clear and simple argument that draws a line from the Protestant Reformation to the discovery of the New World, to the transatlantic slave trade, to the rise of modern biological racism, and how that all informs the Nazi project. And he could say, that's all liberalism. But instead he makes it, he cuts off that part of history and he makes the argument about, liberalism right now.
Because this is a move that he does through the entire book. I think we complained through several, probably the first three episodes of this little mini series here, about how history never really enters into his domain, like historical trajectories and dynamics. There's like these theories, which are these ideas, which are these bodies of thought, which then like appear in the world and continue on. And then some of them die off and then some of them continue. But if you're looking for like a real historical structural argument, like you just gave, Dugin's not here for that shit, right?
Because it would smell too much like Whiggish history for him to say that anything has logics and progressions. And notice I say logics and progressions, not progress, big P, because capital has a logic of which it developed. Does that mean that it's morally better than everything before it? No.
Another reason why he strays away from this is because it would smack too much of communist thought, which he's trying to reject entirely.
Because or he's at least around that in historical materialism, this mechanistic idea of history, as he sees it, right, is what needs to be discarded from the second theory.
Right.
Look, I think mechanistic historical materialism has big fucking problems. I mean, I want to be on the record for that. But I'm not sure that mechanistic historical materialism is actually the correct interpretation of what Marx and Engels meant.
Well, I'm reading this too, when I was reading this for today's session, I reminded myself too where Dugin learned his Marxism from.
Yeah, that's important.
Yeah, that's true. Late Soviet historical materialism was pretty shitty.
Vulgar as fuck, mechanistic as fuck.
One of its essential features of fourth political theory rejects all forms and varieties of racism and all forms and varieties of normative hierarchization of societies based on ethnic, religious, social, technological, economic, and or cultural backgrounds. Basically, you can't judge cultures against other cultures, motherfucker. So the Russian way, the Rusky Mir, is just as good as your Atlantic worldview. Suck it. That's what he's arguing. Now, we could argue, the question is, what do you mean by fucking good? But good at, you need to add those propositions and prepositions to those words for them to be meaningful, but nonetheless. Such an assessment is always subjective, so is everything. And any attempt to raise a subjective assessment of the status of a theory is racism. That is some Abraham X. Kendi move. Any attempt to raise a subjective assessment to a status of a theory is racism. That's a broader claim of racism than any critical race theorist has ever made.
Yeah, it's also just like, it's just too easy. It's just too bogus and so obviously bogus. Again, it's just like, I don't think you needed to make that argument.
Yeah.
He doesn't see, the United States as the product of, bourgeois revolution. He doesn't see it as like a political process worked out in the course of the working out of class society. He doesn't understand capital as having this like forward moving dynamic, doesn't understand like how it was that Anglo-American civil liberties like came to be out of the class structure of that period. He instead sees, and this is, I think, important, he sees the unipolar, the neoliberal world order or the unipolar American hegemony as an artificial, he says it directly, an artificial imposition on the rest of the world of very specific ethnic values of Anglo-Saxon people, whether they be on one side of the Atlantic or the other, right? So we need to be very clear about that, right? That he's not looking at these in terms of like universal or enlightenment values or bourgeois values. Instead, it's a very, very real instantiation of like a particular ethnos that's being like pushed upon the Russian people, for example.
Yeah. So yeah. Now we're going to get into where he shows his cards again. The central axiom of fourth political theory. Furthermore, if anti-racism is directly opposed the ideology of national socialism, in other words, the third political theory, then it also indirectly attacks communism with this class hatred, because class hatred is racism.
Racism, yeah, absolutely. That's like saying if you say fuck the police, you're being racist, right?
Yes.
Blue lives matter, for example.
But actually, according to that criterion, any attempt to raise a subjective acceptance to a status of a theory, not even status of a scientific fact, to a status of a theory is racism. So yes.